bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey everyone, it's Alex. This week's story is from Sarah. She hosts the You Oughta Know podcast and the highly anticipated From a Certain Pod of View. She's an intelligent and hilarious presence on Star Wars Twitter, and I hope you all enjoy her buttery voice as much as Shannon and I do. So without further ado, welcome to episode 11 of Lipstick and Lightsabers.
Hi, this is Sarah Sahim of the You Ought to Know podcast and the upcoming Star Wars-centered podcast, From a Certain Pod of View. This episode is long awaited. I am aware of how much people desire to hear my Star Wars story. It is one of triumph, and it is one of intergenerational thirst. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, the first question I have here: how did you get into Star Wars? I feel as though we all know that Star Wars iconography is ubiquitous. I think that's a given, since it is ubiquitous. Well done for explaining your own sentence, Sarah. But I can't really recall a time where I was ever unaware of our original trilogy, lads. And of course, the huge revelations in both Empire and Return of the Jedi. My parents separated in 2005 when I was around 9, 10, and my mother, letting her hair down in post-divorce emancipation, bought the original trilogy on DVD. She had never, and I stress to you, never mentioned Star Wars in my life, and she had no reason to. Her love of Star Wars was not so much a love of Star Wars as it was an almost lifelong crush on Harrison Ford, and I can't blame her. So, to quench my mother's thirst, we watched the original trilogy on DVD, and I was instantly hooked. I know it's cliche to comment on how the lived-in universe drew me in, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't. It felt so real to me, like I could be a Jedi, like I could fly around in the Falcon to visit all these weird and wonderful worlds and interact with freaky creatures and encounter droids with a bit of an attitude. I'm not really an animal lover, I'm aware I'm going to be cancelled for this, so the idea of having a droid in lieu of a pet really appealed to me. Since I had just missed the prequels hype, I had to resign to purchasing the trilogy on DVD. Lo and behold, I was similarly obsessed. I would spend entire weekends marathoning all 6 movies. Original on Saturday, prequel on Sunday, and vice versa. I could never really decide on a viewing order, and I don't think I really cared. My friends at the time weren't into it, just as my friends now aren't really into it. So it was just me and my DVDs. I remember desperately wanting to know more. I had so many questions. What happened to the clones? Where did these stormtroopers come from? Were 6 movies always planned? Was the original trilogy released with episodic numbers attached to them? And I asked my mom, but she said, I don't know, in my typical mother's fashion. I, of course, looked it up, but I never really got involved with fandom. I don't know whether the idea just never really crossed my mind or I just didn't know those spaces existed. Either way, I did try to email Hayden Christensen, and of course, it bounced. I think I must have Googled Hayden Christensen email. And of course, being a tween, it didn't work. I exhausted the prequel featurettes too, but I don't really recall anything from them besides Ewan McGregor saying Alec McGuinness in his signature Scottish accent that I will not try to imitate. I guess I should rewatch them at some point because I also do have some faint memory of being very obsessed with Padme's outfits. As I grew up, got my period, became a teenager, all that fun stuff, I don't think I ever really grew out of Star Wars per se, but it was certainly placed on the back burner. So fast forward to 2015, The Force Awakens comes out. I was in a very dark place that had been building up over my entire life. And by the time I got to that stage in my life, I couldn't really process much. I was like living this daze. Everything felt like static to me. Regardless of being able to process things, I couldn't enjoy it either. I liked it, but everything felt futile at that point in my life. But I was steeped in so much pain from mental health issues that I didn't understand and that doctors were unwilling to help with. Can you take a guess as to which sequel trilogy character I relate to the most? I guess I thought it was just another Star Wars movie, and I allowed my cynicism to prevent me from loving it as I once did the originals and the prequels. I think the most shocking example of this is that I know I saw something between Rey and Kylo, especially in the interrogation scene, but I immediately, literally instantaneously, not even half a second, talked myself out of it because I didn't trust Mickey Mouse to explore that. I rolled my eyes and gave into the idea of Finn Rey being endgame and Rey Skywalker being a thing. I think it's safe to say my anti-capitalistic nature played a huge role in that. I didn't think so much about Star Wars after that. I didn't even follow The Last Jedi hype or watch the trailer or the teaser, none of it. Which was a silly mistake, listeners, because I know I would have been full-blown Reylo. I took myself to see The Last Jedi about a week or so after its release at an 11 p.m. showing. I don't know the time to be exact, but I can almost guarantee you it was the last showing of the day. And it's safe to say my mind was blown. Everything changed for me. I didn't know Star Wars could be that. I was still in a rough mental state, but since it was so overt and speaking specifically to my experiences, I immediately formed an intense connection to it. That romantic tension, the sexual symbolism, depressed Luke, the exploration of loneliness and belonging on such a subtextual and metaphysical level, and the burden of legacy and deviating from it, the nature of war, apathy in regards to war and politics, capitalism's complicity and function in regards to war and politics, and the goddamn throne room fight. Ugh, amazing. They were dancing in Star Wars. Dancing. It was just breathtaking. Plus, it encouraged me to pick apart and fall just as in love with The Force Awakens. So I got two gifts that day. The first thing I thought when I left the screen at an ungodly hour was, how the hell am I supposed to wait 2 years to find out what happens? Which leads me to the next question. How do you engage with Star Wars fandom? Immediately after The Last Jedi and being baptized in the holy water that is those raindrops on Ben Solo's glove, I needed to talk about this movie, but I didn't. The only Star Wars fans I followed weren't into Reylo, and one of them is vehemently anti-Reylo, spreading toxicity and harassing folks. I have since soft-blocked and muted her, and I feel so silly for even thinking she was in the right because I denied myself that joy for so long. Since Twitter, or at least I felt that Twitter wasn't safe for me, I ventured onto Tumblr. It started with following Reylo tags, not blogs, just tags, on my professional blog, and reading matter and looking at GIF sets specifically curated to make you cry. I bought the novelization and had no one to talk about how Reylo it was, and it was killing me. Since I felt I couldn't talk about it anywhere, I decided to listen to other people talk about it. It's the next best thing, right? I typed in Reylo on YouTube and found the Knights of Rant, Who Talks First, whatever they call themselves, Star Wars Connection, now known as Lords of the Sith. And naturally, that spiraled into listening to Scavenger's Horde, Skytalkers, The Smart Hut, Reylo Alliance, Women of the Wills, and The Balance. Yeah, I have a problem. But that also led me to develop a very healthy love for Star Wars books, and they kept me fed during the great content drought of quarter four, which just ended, thankfully. but I still needed to share my own opinions. So I caved and made a Raylo Tumblr in June. From there, I started to write my own mini matter, shitpost, and engage in dialogue with like-minded fans. I even started to read fic. And prior to The Last Jedi, I could never fathom how someone could be so into something they'd become a shipper, let alone read fic. I thought what I had with the OT and the PT was obsession, but perhaps that was an intense like. And this was love. Tumblr, I found, lacked the social element that I had become accustomed to in my many years on Twitter, just like that song from My Fair Lady. So I bit the bullet and searched Raylo and followed a bunch of people I thought were smart and funny. From the start, I was tame. I was just liking stuff and responding to people, but then I grew tired of having to hide. I think I had prematurely concluded that engaging with a fandom would come across as juvenile to peers in my career. But the problem with working in media is that everyone cares so much about how they come across on social media. You have to be the most snarky, you have to make like you hate everything in the world. And I genuinely did for a while, but I didn't realize how much stewing in that negativity was hindering my mental health. I would deactivate all the time because Twitter was making me miserable and depressed. But the Raylo fandom brought so much joy to my life, as I said earlier. Specifically online. I had never laughed as much at Twitter as I do now, and I've made so many wonderful, loving friends in such a short amount of time. Since I work from home, I don't have coworkers in the traditional sense or anything of the sort. So my version of water cooler chat is logging on at lunchtime to tweet something dumb like AU where Ben Solo has a Skechers endorsement deal and Rey does his hair and makeup, and laugh at the responses. Seeing how creative this diverse group of women, people of color, non-binary folks, queer folks, trans folks, just makes me elated. The support we have for each other is completely unparalleled. And the community's encouragement when I write Tweet Meta pushed me to start my own Star Wars podcast. Here's my mandatory plug, from a certain point of view, coming soon to a pair of headphones near you. How has it impacted your life? I don't know whether this question applies to Star Wars or Star Wars fandom, but I'm going to answer this in terms of both because they're intrinsically linked for me, and North Americans like the sound of my voice. I think I have already touched on this in a long-winded manner, but Star Wars and the fandom as a result literally brought joy to my life. To use a Last Jediism, a fiery spit of hope. The Last Jedi encouraged me to think so much more introspectively about myself and the why of it all. Like I implied, I connect with Ben Solo so much, and one day that connection really clicked and made sense for me. I lived so long thinking that there was no hope for me, that I was doomed to live in misery, that I was unfixable, that I would forever pay for my misguided choices. But seeing Ben make the wrong choice at the end of the throne room scene showed me that, yeah, your demons will always be present in some shape or form, but you have the power to reject them and change. So I did. I started seeing a therapist and I've been on antidepressants for over a month. I have a long journey of healing ahead of me, but I feel so much more confident about the future. And I feel like I actually have a future, which is a long way away from the girl in 2017 who thought she'd have killed herself by now. I'm so much more confident, and I've started to allow myself to be emotionally vulnerable, something that I could never conceive of. I think Ray and I both have a habit of hiding behind a smile. That darkness, it still resides within me. And I understand the hurt it feels, and I allow it to feel that. But I'm slowly learning how to take from that pain and use it to propel myself towards a semblance of happiness, whatever the hell that might mean. I guess I'll figure it out. I think I'm already on my way there, though. By day, I'm a nonfiction writer, and I must admit I've grown extremely disillusioned with it for many, many uninteresting reasons. The Last Jedi in particular gave me the kick up the bum I needed to create fiction, to believe in my ideas, and in part inspired some ideas. I'm writing something for fun right now, and I have a few ideas in the works. I recently wrote up the first scene, and I found myself so overwhelmed during the process. I found myself asking myself, why was I feeling good about writing? What is this sensation? Why don't I want to procrastinate on Twitter? And I would have never given it a shot if it weren't for The Last Jedi. And it just feels amazing to feel amazing. To feel unbridled joy. And now for the less heavy stuff. What are you most looking forward to this year in Star Wars? Honestly, I'm looking forward to enjoying the year, which I have been so far. As much as I can't wait for the Rise of Skywalker, the impatience and anguish that Rodo Twitter has collectively experienced has been hilarious to me. The memes, the clown makeup, the possums, the skincare routine theorizing, it's all brilliant to me. I anticipate freaking out on Twitter at the full-length trailer and all the Ben Denshin and Rayleigh that will come with it. And I know this is going to sound mean, but the Schadenfreude from peeking at Vader snapback Twitter after the Rise of Skywalker is going to be beautiful. I am sick with excitement, waiting for that indigo-tinged final duel with Palpatine. A disgustingly romantic declaration of love from either Ben or Rey. I'll take either. The weird Force stuff, hopefully a portal of some kind, because now I am on Team Han Lives. Ask me about it sometime. I'm looking forward to Rey befriending Rose and Ben befriending Finn and Rose. The double dates would be incredible. JJ, you have heard my demands. Now follow through. I also can't wait for all the books and for my sweet baby, Resistance, to return and seeing what the hell it is they're going to uncover in the unknown regions. Hopefully it's Hondo. Anyway, thank you, Shannon, for letting me ramble for over 15 minutes. I hope it wasn't too painful for you.
You've been listening to Lipstick and Lightsabers, presented by Network 1901. This week's story was from Sarah, and you can find her on Twitter at Sarah Sahim. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can send in your Star Wars story at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. I'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons for making the show happen, and if you'd like to reach out to us, you can find us at lip_lightsabers on Twitter, and myself at Alex Leonis on Twitter. I'll see you guys next time. Bye!